Well, God is good. He's having a good time. Amen?
Amen.
I'm having a good time because I'm in Him and He's in me, and I don't pay attention to very much.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
How many know you can get yourself in trouble by paying attention?
Yes.
Amen? Some people say, you need to pay attention. You know, we like our kids to pay attention, but somehow I think God just likes us to just look at Him. He's not really interested in you paying a whole lot of attention to what's going on around you, because you tend to get all hunkered down in the stuff that is going on. Anybody know there's a presidential faux pas election going on? I mean, it's just craziness, isn't it? I mean, have you ever seen anything like this? This is the silliest thing I've ever seen. And, but you know what's great about it? It really shows who we are without God. Amen?
Exactly.
It really does. I mean, you know, this nation, you know, without God, I mean, we have just steadily just kind of gone downhill, not because we're not as good, it's if we don't trust God. People don't trust God anymore. They don't recognize who God is. They don't recognize who they are. You don't recognize the fact that you're born from above, that you're a creation. You know, even if you're not born again, people used to realize that there was a God in heaven. Amen? There was a God that, you know, because the whole culture was built around the fact that there was a God. Now, if you didn't like God or you didn't like His program, you know, you would kind of step out and kind of not be a part of it. You know, maybe that's how we colonized the whole country. You know, people got tired of preachers and God, so they kept moving west. They kept moving to the west. You know, they kept moving to the out of town. You know, the preacher kept trying to, you know, get them to come to church. They would just go to California. And, well, when you're in California, there you have it, you know. I mean, you know, praise the Lord. You know, after you hit California, you become a missionary. Amen. You just head off into the Southeast Asia, you know. You're going to have to trust God. Most people didn't stay in Hawaii. They just kind of kept going. But the fact is that God is the Creator, amen? But God, not only God the Father is the Creator. And see, if we don't have this vision, if we don't have this foundation, then we're messed up. You know, if we think that this world just kind of happened, you know, and that's what evolution is about, it's rebellion against God. Evolution is, come on, somebody else. There's got to be something else that, you know, is an option besides, you know, worshiping God. How about if we just worship us? How about if I just worship me? You know, that wouldn't that be helpful? Yeah, that would be awesome. You know, that way I could. Problem is, you can get blamed for everything. If you worship you, you get blamed for everything. Amen. It's really, you're just not very good. You know, it's just not very good. We've kind of seen that happen. You know, is that people are not very good gods. They're not very good gods. You know, for their family, for their country, they're not even good gods for themselves. You know, because they just begin to crater and their whole lives begin to tear down. And so what God did is He created this word. He created this word, and He desired to move into our hearts because we had rebelled against Him. We saw it from the very beginning, and we're going to read that. We're going to read out of Genesis. We're going to read out of 1 John, because I want to see that Jesus didn't just begin, you know, hey, we kind of picked a guy, and God finally came up with a guy who was going to do His program. And that's not true. That's not true at all. God had a plan from the very beginning. And when Pastor Jim has been talking about Galatians, you know, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You know, so in other words, there's a bewitchment. There's a sleight of hand, you know, hocus pocus that's gone on to disavow us of the fact that God created the world, that God created the earth, that God created the heavens and the earth. And so what we want to do and be able to give to somebody else is that truth, the fact that God created the heaven and the earth, that this world and everything that we know and we see was created by Him. And, you know, in school, I know, Judah, you know, in school, I don't know, what do they teach about creation and science?
They don't really touch on that stuff.
Well, that's good. At least they don't talk about it. You know, at least they don't talk about it. You know, so but what they typically have done is moved. You know, first of all, you take the Bible out, the Word of God out. There is no, that's not even an option. That's not a viable. You know, well, that's church. That's not. You know, which is not true. Yeah, I mean, faith informs your everything that you do. Your faith informs everything you do. So if you have faith in the fact that your uncle was a monkey, or that, you know, that you came up, and this is where you came from, it's just what you came out of, then, you know, you think you can improve, because obviously the monkey improved. But what happened to the rest of the monkeys? I always want to know what happened to the rest of them. You know, we got still some in the zoo. You know, there's some monkeys that are not in the zoo that probably should be. You know, and, you know, I think we got maybe a couple of them running for president. But I tell you, you're trying to promote this monkeyness, you know, this ability of... It does, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it takes more because everything, and the truth is that it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in God, because of the fact that to believe that that monkey came from a blob in the ocean and became this, you know, less than cognitive creature. I mean, you know, he can eat a banana, but this less than cognitive creature, the biggest leap that's hard to believe is going from the monkey to space shuttle, to building the space shuttle, or building your iPhone. It's quite a leap, amen. And but God created you. He created you with a purpose. He created all life with a DNA structure, but He created you by breathing into you His Spirit. That's what makes all the difference. And when you lose that, then you go back to the monkey. When you lose that, you begin to just degenerate into just, you know, base physical instinct. That's where our society went. That's where our society has gone. The more you push God down, push Him out, and watch this, the more you could push God down and out, then the more the society is not progressing. Even though technologically we appear to be, we're digressing. This society is digressing. And because you can't even, you know, watch TV or anything anymore without going, oh my, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the Spirit. Oh, the Holy Ghost. You know, people, Holy Ghost. You know, they kind of make fun of the Holy Ghost. The power of God and the Spirit of God living on the inside of you is the only thing that brings life. And see, here's what we have to do is, you know, and I like to, Judy, you know, I always pick on you when you're here, when I'm here, because you're always here, is that you've got to believe God. He's learned how to tune us out. is because you're the next generation, you've got to learn, you've got to carry this on. You know, I mean, we're going to all die and go to heaven, and, you know, you're going to be left. So you're gonna be the guy who's telling people about Jesus. You're gonna be the guy who's holding the banner, holding the fort. You know, hey guys, come on. You know, you need to know Jesus. You need to know that God created the heaven and the earth, not evolution. It didn't just happen by accident, right? And so this is the most important. This is one of the most important things that we can do in preaching to the world, is to declare God created the heaven and the earth. To keep that spoken, to keep that word spoken, is to not, you know, just kind of give up and not say anything anymore. Because this is the foundation. The foundation is creation. The foundation is, did God make this world and you, or did it just accidentally happen over billions of years? You know, and God said no. God said it did not. Let's look over at... Well, first of all, I want to look over at John chapter 1. The Gospel of John chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Now we'll look at 1 John eventually. So don't get confused. Don't be like the monkey. Don't get confused. All right. John 1. Father, we just praise You this morning. Ask You to show us Your Word. Show us what You want to share with us this morning, what You want to give to us this morning, so that when we walk out of here, we have a word from God. We walk out of here, we have a word from heaven which transforms our walk. So we trust You today, And thank you. Thank you for Peg and Jim. Thank you that you're blessing them and taking care of them up in Colorado today and filling them up and letting them fellowship with other ministries and ministers and believers, and that they come back refreshed. Father, protect them, care for them as they travel and they go and come. And thank you for that in the name of Jesus. But Father, thank you that you take your word, which is born of your spirit, and indwell us. You said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So Father, we say, Lord, come and dwell in us by your word richly. Let your rich word and spirit indwell us and cause us to receive of your presence and your gifts for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, you can pray that and God will do it. You know, we were looking at Colossians the other day. And we'll get to that hopefully at the end. I want to read a little bit of that, because the difference again is, as I said, the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. That's the difference. The difference in creation is the Spirit of God living on the inside of men, women, people, human beings. God chose you. How about that? God chose you. He chose you to live on the inside of you. And here's the plan. He had a plan. Here's the plan. We usually talk about first Genesis chapter 3 was the beginning of the gospel message, which is, you know, the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the serpent. Yeah, we look at that as the first gospel promise. But here we find that even before, because that's directing us to look at the and bruising his heel is directing us to look at a man with a heel, a man with a body and a foot, you know. So in Genesis chapter 3, we're looking for a man, right? When he says, you know, the seed of the woman, that's a person, right? The seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the serpent, and the serpent will bruise his heel. So we're looking for a person. But let's back up and come into John, and then we'll get back to Genesis. It says, in the beginning, verse 1 of Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So in the beginning was what?
The Word.
Okay, now what does that mean? We don't even know what that means, so we keep reading. Yeah, you know, God will help us out. In the beginning was the Word. Well, I thought in the beginning God. Yeah, I was back in Genesis. In the beginning, who? God. But in the beginning was the Word, says John. And the Word was with God. Well, okay. So, you know, if we're now comparing Genesis and John, we're going, oh, well, in the beginning God, but God had this Word with Him. So God had God and now Word. So we got God and the Word. So we got something that Genesis didn't tell us about, because Moses didn't know about it. Moses wasn't clear on all this. John was clear. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Okay, so we have God and the Word now there in Genesis. And the Word was God. Wow. Okay. So we're getting information we never had before. We're getting information we never had before. The same, the Word, the same, talking about the Word, was in the beginning with God. Reiterate that. The same, the Word was in the beginning with God. Now, verse 3, all things were made by Him. Now, is that talking about God or talking about the Word? Well, the fact is we had God, and we know in the beginning God created, but now we're introducing the fact that the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same subject says all things were made by God. Now we have the Word is given a gender. He is given a gender. He's given a personal pronoun. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So now this Word with who is with God and who actually is God. Well, I thought God was God. How does the Word get to be God? Did we change gods? No, God. The Word is God. It's the same substance as God. He is a different personality of God. Not a different personality, but a different person of God. You know, I have children. They're part of me. They're Halversons. You know, and you know, in the beginning was, you know, Halverson. But then there was another one. Is Jordan, for instance, or Luke, or Grace, or Esther. But are they less Halverson? No, they're not. They're Halverson as well. They have the same DNA, the same pattern that is in them. And the same is true of the Word. Now, the Word is not yet Jesus. Jesus came in the fullness of time. So the Word that we're talking about, and we don't even know this yet, if you were reading this for the very first time, you would be thinking, Word, okay. You know, why is this a gospel, and who's this Word? So as we begin to continue, it says, verse 3 again, all things were made by Him, the Word, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So He made all things. He made all things. In Him, verse 4, was life, and the life was the light of men. Now watch that, verse 5. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So we have the Word in the beginning with God making everything that was made. And one of the characteristics of the Word, in Him was life, L-I-F-E. And the life was the light, L-I-G-H-T, of men. Now the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness says, what's that? And the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness did not have an understanding. Darkness has no understanding of light. Now you remember that light always conquers darkness, correct? I mean, in the middle of a dark room, if you have a light in the corner, a little tiny light, just nothing. Birthday candle. You know, big. You know, you can see that light. That light always conquers darkness. Have no fear. The light that's in the Word, that is in Him, that who He is, always conquers darkness. If there is something dark, something evil, wicked, have faith, understand, have confidence that God has overcome that darkness.
Amen.
Okay? I mean, how many of us have a circumstance or a situation that's is over? No. As long as the light shines in the darkness, you have hope. I have hope. No matter what has happened, we've had a lot of stuff happen, you know, in our lives, so have you. But the fact that there is no, that the darkness cannot overcome the light, no matter how small the light appears to be, that light is my hope. No matter how small the light, oh, just a little bitty light, because it seems like there's a lot of darkness, but that little bitty light is my hope. I am by faith clinging to that, holding on to that, have confidence in that. And you know what? My confidence builds as I hold on to that light. Amen? As I have faith in that light, my hope is built. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood. And right, isn't that great? How you can go to a song. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. What does that light do? It reminds me of everything that I already know. When I see light in the darkness, doesn't all of a sudden you see you have hope and it brings to you every promise of God? Amen? I mean, you see all the darkness. Don't look at the darkness. Just there's that light. I'm going right for that light right there. I'm going to go right for this light, you know, right back here. And I'm going to make sure that I get, in my case, it's going to be water. But I walked straight for that light. I didn't wander around in the darkness. Amen? I didn't wander around in the darkness. I'm going straight for the light. Amen? How many of you kind of wander around in the darkness and say, oh, it's dark? You know, it's not, no, it's light. Well, you're stupid. You know, it's not light. Look at all this darkness. No, it's light. See, I have a whole different concept. I have a whole different concept of darkness and light. Light is my hope. Well, that's just a tiny light. It's all I need. I don't need anything more. And God promised I would always have a light. I will always have. Jesus Christ. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So if I am, if I have light, I have what?
Life.
L-I-F-E. Right. If I am, if I have light, I have life. The enemy can't destroy me. I cannot be defeated. Amen. Kenneth Copeland sings a song that says, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. Amen. I will not quit. Amen. Because I know whom I have believed. There's nobody, there's nothing that can stop me. I cannot be stopped. Say that. I cannot be stopped. Isn't that powerful? Because you have the life of God on the inside of you. You cannot be stopped, thwarted, turned away. Now granted, one day or another, you know, you have emotion, you have an emotional day. You know, your insides, because it's somebody close to you, because there's a circumstance, maybe it's a physical thing that is you know, tried to come upon you. In those days, your emotional status may change. Listen, your emotions don't rule you. Just because you're crying, just because you're weeping, just because you're shivering and shuddering because of a circumstance does not mean you have left faith. Amen? I mean, a lot of people say, no, I just left my faith. I'm just scared. No. That's just your brains. That's just your guts. That's just your, you know. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Is that, yeah. You have a choice right there to believe that and go for the light. Go for the water. Go for the, you know, go for the cool drink. Mm-hmm. You have a choice for that. Or you have a choice. You can just, you know, kind of crater and just kind of turn away from the light and wander around in the darkness, you know. And you know, that's possible. People do that. People will just, oh, it's too small. It's not enough. Anybody ever done that? It's like, or know people who've done that? They left faith. They had their faith made shipwrecked because they didn't think that light was enough. But go away. They didn't what? Think. Their thinker was broken. They decided that they would, yeah, that they would make a decision. They were kind of weighing the options. Ah, the light's too small. You know, I'm rowing toward the light, but it's too far. You know, you're out in the middle of the ocean, and the wind and waves, and just cry out to God. Cry out to God. If you go to heaven, great. But if not, God's got a mission for you. Amen. So just keep paddling toward the light. Just keep paddling toward the light. And again, that's every day. That's every day. No matter what the circumstances are. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So we have an entire world, an entire creation, that walked away from God. You know, when Eve took the thing, and then here comes, okay, well, the devil's in, so he's in the world. You know, he got in by his deception, and they got booted out of the garden. You know, so they don't eat the tree of life and then live forever in the state of, you know, condemnation. You know, don't want that. So he booted them out. But then he begins the process. Amen? He begins the process. And in the fullness of time, John chapter 1. Read it again. Keep going. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same John came for a witness to bear witness of the light. I thought the light was at the beginning. All of a sudden, here we have John in about the year before the year zero. About 2,000 years ago, here comes John. He came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe, through John. That capital H really is not, shouldn't be there. All men through John's testimony might believe. John was not that light, verse 8, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lights every man that comes into the world. Let's look over at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I'm just going to read the beginning of it. As we talked about earlier, is that in the beginning, God. Now we read in John 1, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. So when God says it, it happens.
Amen.
There's the evidence.
Thank you, Jesus.
And in a couple of days, there was light. No. In the beginning, when God said, let there be light, there it was. Boom. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. So what does God do? God divides light from darkness. At the very beginning, God made the distinction between light and darkness. Then we read back in John 1 that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And in him was the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, let's look again at, we're looking at Genesis. And let's see here. When he created man, he breathed into him. Okay, here it is in chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2. And the Lord God formed a man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and God and the man became a living soul. So he breathed into him. So he breathed into him, and the breath of God, the word pneuma, or ruach in the Hebrew, is spirit. I think I have that right for the Hebrew, so I know it's right in Greek. But that spirit is breath. The word spirit is breath, a wind. And so God breathes his breath inside, not inside the beasts of the field or the fowl of the air. He didn't breathe into any of those. He just created them, and boom, and they were walking around. And are they breathing? Yeah, they're breathing, but they don't have the breath that you and I have. They don't have the breath that you and I have. You and I are different. You and I are different creation. Our source of life and existence is different from the animals. No matter what, you know, scientists will tell you about the creation of the bodies and the similarities. I mean, there's only one kind of dirt, right? You know, it's just dirt's dirt, you know. So he creates animals, he creates, you know, everything. But when he creates you and me, he created you and me with his own breath. The life that is in you is the Spirit of God giving you life in your person, in your body. All right? So that Spirit of God, first of all, breathed life into you. You know, how do we live? How do we die? You know, people still don't know. You know, people still don't know how you live and how you die. They can tell you, they can see that you do. They can see that, you know, and then they can pump your chest and make you and shock you, and they figured out ways to kind of bring you back for a little while. But they don't know how you live. They don't know what life is. If they had life, if they had it, they could do the Dr. Frankenstein thing. They could, you know, make it and bring it back and, you know, do all kinds of crazy things. They can't. They don't know. They don't know because God's kept it. God's kept that. That's his own secret formula. Amen? Life is his own secret formula. And so God is keeping you, keeping that life understanding. All right. Praise the Lord. I want you to look over, back over at John. Okay? Back over at John chapter 1. And let's look at verse 8. John, he's talking about John here. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. So John was sent to bear witness of the light that was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. So every man has the life of God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. This light, or this life, comes into every individual, every person. He was the source of life. The reason you and every other individual in this world lives is because of the breath of God. Amen? Because of the life of God. So this is not born again. This is just life. Because of the Word, because of the Son of God, that is the life of men on the earth. Again, we're not talking about born again at this point. He was in the world. Now look at verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. It's kind of behind, backstage. He made the world. This is the light. This is the Word. He made the world, and the world did not know Him. He was in the world. The world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Then He came to His own as a man. He came to His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That's the distinction between the life that's in you and becoming a son, the power to become the son of God, a son of God.
Hallelujah.
Which were born not of blood, the power. Let me read that verse 12 again. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. Now verse 14 talks about now the Word made flesh, right? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So here's a change in the game, is that the Word who made heaven and earth and breathed life into every man now became one of us, became flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was recognized. Even though He was a man, He was recognized as something different about this guy. 15, John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, "This is He of whom I spoke. He that comes after Me is preferred before Me." In other words, in ministry. So He came, here John began his ministry 6 months before Jesus. Not a very long ministry, really. You know, and then he got put in jail, and then he got his head cut off. So I mean, it's a very short ministry, really. You know, John had a very short ministry, but he was the greatest. Jesus said He was the greatest prophet that ever lived. He was the greatest prophet because He pronounced the entrance of the salvation of men, of the world, of the reconciliation of God to men to the Father. So John bear witness of Him. This is Him of whom I spoke. He that comes after Me is preferred before Me, for He was before Me. No, you're 6 months older, John. He wasn't before you. Well, no, John's not talking about that, is he? He's talking about the fact that Jesus was the Word in the beginning. Jesus was the Word in the beginning. Verse 16, and of His fullness, John 1:16, and of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace.
Hallelujah.
For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask Him, "And who are You?" And He confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked Him, "What then? Are You Elijah?" And He said, "I am not. Are You that prophet, this prophet, that prophet?" And He answered, "No." Then said, "Who are You? What, that we may give an answer to them that sent us. What do You say of Yourself?" And He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness." Isaiah chapter 40. "Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet." So He's the one to declare that the God of heaven has arrived in human flesh to reconcile the world to Himself. Let's look over at 1 John chapter 1. So we have Jesus who has arrived in flesh, in a body like yours and mine. John's that little book that you always pass, you can't get to. All right. Now look at 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, here's this beginning again. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Again, this is John the Apostle, same one that wrote the book of John, the Gospel, same John, the disciple whom Jesus loved by his own testimony, by John's testimony. The disciple, one of three, Peter, James, and John. James and John were brothers. Who Jesus took up to the mountain in one of the days of his ministry, and said, and was transfigured before them, that God displayed the glory of Jesus before them. In other words, His glory, the glory of God, who was Jesus' true nature, was displayed for them. In fact, He said, there are some of you here, right before that incident, He said, there are some of you here who will not see death till you see the Son of God come again in His kingdom. Well, these guys saw the Son of God in His glory, in His kingdom glory, there on that mountain. And then, of course, you know, in that same episode, he had appearing with him Moses and Elijah. And Peter says, as Peter does, as you and I do, "Hey, I got a great idea. Let's build a little church for Elijah, for Moses, and for Jesus." And all of a sudden, a cloud comes down, and a voice comes and says, and it covers Moses and Elijah, and says, "This is my beloved Son. Only Jesus is now visible. Hear ye Him." So we're no longer hearing Elijah. We're no longer hearing Moses. We're hearing Jesus. So the Father Himself, by the Spirit, in an audible voice, at least to these guys audible, spoke and made directive that day that this is whom is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him. So these guys had an understanding. And the same understanding it needs to be had by you is that Jesus is the beloved Son. He is the Word. He is God. He made heaven and earth. He is not just wonderful Jesus who loves me and carries a little lamb around, and that little lamb is me, and and he keeps it. How many know it's the Father Himself who loves you? Okay? Yes, people don't know that. People just still think, you know, Jesus is their friend and the Father, He's kind of keeping the Father off of them, you know, because the Father's a big mean guy. I mean, this is the devil's greatest deception, is that the Father, God, does not love you like Jesus does. And Jesus is your friend, and God the Father is your he's the bad guy, the mean guy, you know. And if you don't do just what He says, you know. We got people who are still, we'll look at in Galatians chapter 4, when Pastor Jim, I don't think he's got this far yet, is that all the things that we still do, you know, based on ordinances and recognizing days and seasons and years and doing all this stuff that was part of the law, that was just demonstrating to us who Jesus was. But when He arrives, that's the tutor. That's the showing what, you know, who Jesus is, and showing us in different ways how Jesus will manifest Himself. But once He has come, those things are not necessary, because now you don't need a tutor. You don't need a schoolmaster to show you and hold you and hold you back and keep you from doing silly stuff and kind of keep you busy, because you have all these feasts and all these things to do. How many think God is into like feasts and rituals? Or is it just into you? When you come into your living room with your family on Christmas or Thanksgiving, are you into I guess some people are into rituals and stuff, and traditions, I guess. And they're okay, but don't believe in them. If turkey falls on the ground, or if something doesn't go right, people get upset when their ritual goes haywire. Anybody ever notice that? If some people, if their ritual goes haywire, and this is what people are about the law. And, even Christians are attempting to keep the law and keep everything. And, I've got a guy who has a Bible study with us on a Tuesday morning. Says, and he has T-shirts made up that, if you don't keep the law, well, you're gonna cook, you're going to burn, you're going to fry or something, And, it's because the idea that is now that Jesus has come, you can do all the law. No! Have you ever read the New Testament? Just because Jesus has come, what he's done is, though you still live in a flesh which is hopeless, he will deliver you daily and cause you to walk in love and toward your brothers, sisters, men, women. He'll cause you to walk in the love that Jesus walked in and not be busy keeping a law and placing sticks in the right order. And you might as well just be doing, it's busy work. Huh?
Yeah.
Isn't that right? Don't you give kids busy work, to just kind of keep them out of trouble? I remember there was, any Aggies here? Good. It applies to anybody. You can make it a different joke. Somebody said the Aggie jokes just came from Polack jokes. Any Polacks here? It was a Norwegian joke. Yeah, how's that? That'd be okay. All right, yeah. So how do you keep a Norwegian busy? You take a piece of paper and say, turn this over. Then on the back you write, and then on the back side you write, turn this over. And just, See, he just keeps that going. Well, that guy, you're going to keep that guy out of trouble. He's not going to get in any trouble. He's just going to say, turn that paper over all the time. Wouldn't that be great? Jesus just... But that was what the law is about, is so that you will be reminded of these things going along. This generation, this generation, this generation, this generation, this generation, this generation, this generation. All of a sudden, in the fullness of time, Jesus comes. So, the nation of Israel was kept by the law. The nation of Israel was kept by the law until the fullness of time when Jesus came. Amen? So, once Jesus has come, does he want to keep the law now? Is that what he wants to do? Just keep on keeping the law? No. He is the fulfillment of the law. Everything that went down, everything that God described, Jesus fulfilled it. Jesus, everything that we were talking about, all the parts of the tabernacle and all the days and all the celebrations are fulfilled in Jesus. Now, the fruit of that is that when you're born from above, you are transformed daily by living in Him. You are not transformed by yourself. If you separate from Jesus, you're in trouble. If you just kind of walk off and just kind of I think I'll just live for Jesus today. You can't do that. You can't live for Jesus today. You have to walk with Jesus today. Amen? And as you walk with Him, then the righteousness of God manifests from day to day. Or do you end up failing, from time to time? Something happens and you just go off and like a little kid. All of a sudden you see this little bug and you just start walking around. And all of a sudden Jesus is saying, hey, what you doing? I'm looking at this bug. Things are flying by, and you had an opportunity to minister to so-and-so, but you're looking at the salamander. And because the enemy loves to get you distracted. Amen? So what you want to do, just keep your eye on Jesus. It's not a law. It's a good recommendation. Amen? It's a good recommendation. Keep your eye, walk with Jesus. He says in Galatians again, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, that's probably a good idea. So you're not walking in the Spirit. Well, what you are doing is putting hope in the Spirit. If you look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it talks about the fact that there is no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus who walk not with according to the flesh. That is, walk doesn't mean sinning. It means walk not according to the flesh. That is, with any confidence or hope in the flesh, but rather in the Spirit. So you want to walk with your hope in the Spirit and what He does rather than any confidence in the flesh. Right? You want to walk in the, with walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay? Walk in the Spirit. How do I walk in the Spirit? Just fellowship with the Lord. Fellowship. Father, thank you that I love you this morning. You know, you can just walk in anytime. It doesn't matter where you are. You know, you can walk in your kitchen. You can walk in your bathroom. Believe it or not, you can just Jesus in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody ever meet Jesus in the shower?
Mm-hmm.
I do. Yeah, no distraction. Nobody in there but you. You know, so you can begin to worship God. You don't have to get dressed and get your makeup on, Raul, to, you know. Yeah, this a little, not even that. No, no, just come in as you are. Just come in. I mean, you know, come in. I mean, you know, Jesus might as well be your, he could be your coffee pot. If he's the first one you see, whatever. First one you see in the morning, that's Jesus. Amen? You know, who's the first one you see in the morning? First thing you see. I'm not going to get any worse than that. But the fact is that, you know, come in as you are. Come in exactly as you are. Because He loves you.
Amen.
He loves you. He has transformed you. You know, let's look over here at, okay, you keep looking at 1 John. That which we have seen from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, this is John talking about as disciples, which we have looked upon, and you remember I said they saw Him as, they in fact saw Him as the transformed Son of God. We have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled, the Word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and we bear witness and show to you that eternal life which was with the Father and which was manifested to us. He showed up to us. That which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. So that word that we read about in John chapter 1, and that word that the God who was in the God of creation, who was out him, without Him was anything made, was nothing made that was made, is the one that God, that these guys are talking about, that John is talking about here in 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. So we heard Him. We've seen Him. We've looked upon it. Our hands have handled, we've touched Him. He says, verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it. And we bear witness and show to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. So there was eternal life that John recognized. Can we recognize that today? I recognize that Jesus is not just a man who is a good teacher, a man who is a good philosopher, which the world wants to reduce Him to, but He was God come to me. And so now then He came to retrieve me, and I am retrieved. You are retrieved. You have been redeemed. You have been purchased. And you received that blood. As many as received Him, gave He the power to become the sons of God. As many as received Him, if you back over there in John chapter 1, as many as received Him, gave He the power. Have you received Him? Amen. I have the power. I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. Not by anything that I've done. I didn't keep any laws. I didn't keep any days or seasons. But I believed. And once I believe, see, the whole purpose of this message today is to bring you back, to get you out of this world and get you into the Spirit, into God, into Christ today. And to live in Him. To live in Him. Because we talked about the darkness, right? Because if you know that that light, if the light shines in the darkness, and that light is the light of men, and that light shines in the darkness, and you focus on that light, and that is your hope right there. then all the rest of the darkness doesn't bother you. And you begin to walk like this. You begin to walk like this daily. You begin to walk in and have a daily rest in that. So no matter what, no matter how old you are, when you begin to daily say that Jesus Christ, Jesus is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Psalms. Okay, if you'll look over quickly at Colossians chapter 1, we'll finish up. Colossians chapter 1. I always say this is that usually on if you're reading Paul's epistles, he begins by describing the accomplishment, the fulfillment that Jesus did in you. And then at the end of the book, which is where most people like to start, therefore do this, people like that. People like something they can do. Well, you can't do that unless you read chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Ephesians or of Philippians or of Colossians. You know, you can't do until God did His work and you recognize it. All right, here's Paul praying. He says, "For this cause, since the day we heard it, your faith, we do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might." This is the prayer he's praying for you. "Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks to the Father, which has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of
darkness
and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." So the fact that there is darkness all around you, now you are now part of the light. Though there be darkness all around you, it does not have authority over you. No matter what it appears to have, they put me in jail. You know, it seems like, no, that's not you. That's your flesh and blood body. How many know that you is, that's not you? You is the living God on the inside of your spirit. You know, it's will, but it's will Jesus. Jesus' will. Amen? It's in Him. You know, it's Jesus, Kathy. Jesus, Karen. Jesus, Dan. Jesus, Sam. So Jesus on the inside of you. Say, don't get upset if I didn't call your name. I'm not picking winners and losers. All right, now. So He says, He's delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, watch this now. Remember what we've been talking about, the creation in the beginning? Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, well, I thought Jesus wasn't a creature. He's not. But His body was. His body was. God prepared a body for Him. The psalm said, hey, He prepared a body for me. So he needed a car, you know, when he got here. So God made him a Peugeot. You know, created him a Renault. Created him a little car, Fiat, you know. So He prepared him a body. He created him a little vehicle to get around in. You know, it's probably more trim than mine. Of course, he only used it for 33 years. So he's in pretty good shape. All right? So He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. See, some denominations will take that and run off and say, well, Jesus was less than God. They'll take that and say, Jesus was not God. No. He's the firstborn of every creature. The creature is the body that He was given. For by Him were all things created. He was the firstborn also from the dead. So he said, well, no, that's Lazarus. Or that was some of the kids he raised from the dead. Not this way. He was the firstborn from the dead to eternal life, to his resurrection body. That body, in that he was the firstborn from the dead, the first resurrected. All right. Verse 16, for by him were all things created. You remember that in John and in Genesis. Are all things that were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Remember when it said, without him was not anything was made that was made. In fact, without him, nothing continues. Without the Word, without Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Godhead, by him all things consist. They keep going. By him, without him, nothing was made that was made, and nothing keeps going. And then it begins to talk about how he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Verse 22 says, or verse 21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Doesn't mean the law. It didn't say if you continue in the law, did it? If you continue in the faith, grounded, settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Down below, even verse 26, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations. See, he began at the creation. And this is the mystery that's been hidden using schoolmasters and tutors, using the law to bring to the fullness of time the appearance of the Savior. Even to the mystery that has been hid from the ages and the generations, but is now manifest to his saints. Those of you who are saints are those who have been filled with the Holy Spirit and see what Jesus revealed. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you look over at chapter 2 just momentarily, verse 6, chapter 2 of Colossians. As you have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up, in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, it's like Galatians, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. In other words, don't get distracted. Don't get sidetracked. Let's walk with God. Let's walk with Jesus. Let's not do stuff to please him. Let's, in fact, come into his presence. That's why he came. That's why he came. That's why he created and came from the very beginning, to have fellowship with you, to have a creation filled with his Spirit, to have creation and to walk with you. And that's our message to the world. Amen? That's our message to the world. Because, you know, you're only talking to Jewish people and a lot of Christians if you're talking about laws. I mean, you know, most of the world doesn't care about laws. What they care about is Acts chapter 20, when Paul began to say, you know, all the things you're kind of doing to make sure that the pagan gods are not mad at you, and this unknown God over here. Well, he's the one you need to concentrate on. The unknown God's the one you need to pay attention to. The one you have that just in case, make sure you give him a gift just in case so you don't miss anybody. He's the one who doesn't need a temple. He's the one who made heaven and earth and has no need of temples because he's too big. He's too much. In fact, he made you. That's what he's telling the Gentiles. That's why the Gentiles have any interest in this God. Why would the Gentiles have any interest in the God of the Jews? There's a little bunch of people who've got some silly law. But no. This is, you can have a relationship. This is your ministry to the world. There's a creation. There's a lie that says you came from a monkey. You did not. God made you, and he wants to have a relationship with you. And he wants to have it eternally. That's your ministry. That's why you're here. That's the only reason you're here. So let's look at that and just carry that on. Is that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. Jesus was not just a nice man, but he's God. Amen. Father, we just thank you. Thank you that you're in us and through us and with us. You translated us into the kingdom of your dear Son. We thank you, Lord God, that daily you are in fact showing us and revealing to us, even as the prayer in Colossians said, you're revealing to us everything that you have done in us. You have Paul's prayer that we might be filled with all the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we might walk worthy or in the worthiness that you have made us unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, that we are strengthened with all might according to your glorious power, and to all patience and long suffering with everybody, and with joyfulness, giving thanks to the Father, which has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life, who delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So today, Lord, we thank you. We meditate upon these things that you have done, and we thank you for it. Thank you that you revealed it to us, and we thank you that you are using us daily to reveal it to somebody else until the day that Jesus returns for his church. So we thank you. We don't put burdens on people. We, in fact, all we do is just love them. Even in politics, even if we have a vision that has to do with the love of God and the goodness of God toward every issue, Father, that we do not neglect to love those who are enemies, even in the political realm, because we love them, because you love them. Jesus did not come to destroy or condemn, but he came to bring life, and that's what we do. We come to give life. We come, but we don't separate ourselves. We don't have a separate life for politics and a separate life for Jesus. And we just give you the glory and we give you the praise. Right now, we pray for these events that are taking place in the next 30 days. And Father, we thank you that we're going to have a president in this country who is a human being, a person. And so, Father, we will commit to pray for that person. We pray for the events that are taking place so that they be not horrendous in a way that would bring confusion. But Father, we thank you right now that you are making a circumstance where the gospel can be preached. That's all we care about, is that the gospel can be preached. As many as will come to know you will come, and then will the end come. So we thank you. We pray for the nations. Yes. Father, we pray for the nations of the earth. We pray for our President Barack Obama. Even in his last days, Lord, we pray that the Word of God would come to him and his heart. Amen. Father, that he would hear you and that he would move according to your Spirit. Or barring that you would move him according to your Spirit. Father, we thank you for every senator, every congressman, every judge, federal, state, and local officials, so that we might live a quiet and peaceable life, and the gospel would go forward in power. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, which is the coming of the Lord Jesus. And we give you glory and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.